WildTalkRadio.com.
All right. It's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, it's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
The Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rock, and that's Lindsay Ward. The fans are back.
The people are back. WWE is back. And we've had 3 days of the fans, and oh my god, wrestling is so much better now. Yes! Like, Friday was great. Last night was great. Tonight was great in terms of the fans, in terms of the energy, in terms of everything. Just seeing it in the arenas and not in the Thunderdome. No offense to the Thunderdome, but WWE feels so much better in a 20,000 seat arena with the sets and the crowds and the lights and the pyros and the everything. And from the superstars to the crew to just everything, just the energy is back. It's there. You feel like it has life again. And we are out of the holding pattern, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the road to Summer WrestleMania, aka SummerSlam. And they made some moves tonight.
They did make some moves tonight. All right, I'm going to get some stuff out of the way because the minor stuff, okay?
Okay.
Jackson Ryker beat Elias in a Symphony of Destruction match.
Okay, respect to the crew that had to haul that baby grand piano in. God bless you for that, because I know that was not easy. I'm sorry. I cannot get into Jackson Ryker. That whole, like, creepy stare thing at the beginning was entirely uncomfortable, and it was just like, no, please get that off my TV, because it was just, it's like, no. No, I'm not good with that. It's not any better when he's beating himself, by the way. Like, when he has his little, like, strap and he's just self-flagellating. Yeah, that's not... That, no.
Lindsay,
no.
Lindsay, he's a baby face, too.
Nope.
But he's a baby face. He's the good... He's the good guy.
The piano was moreover. I will say, I do cry every time they do these matches because, like, my inner band nerd is like, man, that's like a really good... That's like a nice drum set. That's a nice piano. That's a nice bass that Elias used to slam over Jackson Ryker's face. And somehow somebody was bleeding. I think Elias was bleeding at the end. And Jackson Ryker won.
Yeah, Jackson Ryker won after they went through two tables. Went through tables to end it. It is what it is.
I keep saying this, like, if WWE just wants to throw money away, I have a bathroom. I actually technically have two bathrooms in a basement that need redoing. They can just throw that money at me and I will happily spend it.
Sheamus complained about having to fight Humberto Carrillo again. So this was a non-title contenders match, which Sheamus won. So that should be the end of that.
I really, really, really love Sheamus's entrance with, like, the Fight Club
neon
graphics and the alley and everything. Yeah. Part of me kind of wanted to, like, them to sort of reference back to which game was it? Was it 2K19? Where it was, like, Suplex City, and they did the whole, like, advertisements that it was Suplex City, and Sheamus had, like, the bro kick bar and shit.
It was 18 or 19. I don't remember which one. Might have been 18.
I got those vibes off of that, and I really, really liked it because I really love that advertising campaign for that game. So I was into this wholeheartedly. I love the entrance. The match was fine. Like, the match was what it was. I think Humberto's still getting a little bit of a comeuppance for, you know, breaking Sheamus's face, but here we are. But yeah, it was fine. And I like that Sheamus is now wearing the coat to the ring. He's bringing the gimmicks together, which I like. Because I think that was my one problem, was he was walking around backstage with his hair all pushed down and cute, with the hat and the jacket and the whole, like, suspenders, tank top, slack situation. And then he would come to the ring and it'd be all spiked up and he was a Celtic warrior and it was just a little weird. But now he's at least wearing the jacket to the ring, which I like.
Yeah. So you had that.
That was not a cello. That was a bass.
You had Jinder Mahal continuing to run down everything that happened with Drew, and it's his birthday, so he got his boys to sing him happy birthday, and then Drew McIntyre appeared to beat the hell out of both men.
I didn't need that in my life. I mean, I'm happy I got it. Happy birthday to me from Jinder Mahal. But, like, it's not my birthday. But, you know, we're celebrating his birthday by just the hotness that was Drew McIntyre. I'm sorry. It's going to make people uncomfortable. But my ovaries were not expecting that at all. And just subsequently just went boom right there in the middle of the show when he just rolled up all pissed off in a black, like, tight black paint tank top and pants. And then he just peeled it off of himself. And then he whooped that poor child.
Shanky.
What a
terrible name.
It's awful. But he just beat that poor kid with a stick. It's like, Drew, this is after Jinder and the boys walked off with him. So I'm glad to know he's okay, because they just left with him at Money in the Bank and Drew napped him and we had no idea what happened there. But, you know, glad to know he's fine. But yeah, this, and they put a video out of Shanky on Twitter of the aftermath. Oh my God. It was awful. He got all these bruises on that poor man.
Yeah.
It's like, jeez. Be nice. Play nice with that. So, yeah, the feud is heating up. We'll see where this goes. Drew had a mad.
Drew did, in fact, have a mad. So Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler took on the tag champs, Natalya and Tamina. They lost again to Tamina and Natalya. And then Shayna made Nia choose Reginald or her.
Yeah, Shane has been kind of pushing this for a while. They've sort of been going there with it, that Reginald continues to kind of get in their way. He's a distraction. You know, they were winning prior to him showing up, and now ever since he's been there, it just hasn't been the same. So it's, you got to make a choice, because Reginald got in the way in this match and cost them the match, and it's either me or him. You know, it's besties before testies, or your boy toy. What do you want?
But doesn't the boy toy have the test? Never mind. Not even.
Do you really need me to explain to you how much she doesn't need Reginald if Shane is there?
Yeah, no, I got
They have.
I got it.
They have devices that will assist with that. That strap.
I got it.
She doesn't need the man in this situation.
I got that.
Just saying.
But Reggie won the title. 24/7 champion, Reginald. So Nia drops him. He gets a belt.
Yeah, so Nia went with Shayna.
Win-win?
Yeah, win-win. We had the besties before testies, and then Reginald got a little, something for himself by winning the 24/7 title. And then he did multiple backflips, or back handsprings, I should say, up the rampway, which was very dizzying, but impressive.
Impressive nonetheless. All right. So that was that. I'm trying to go through all the things before we get to the serious stuff. Oh, yeah. Alexa Bliss had brought back Lily.
Creepy Doll's back. Can we just talk about for a second Eva's granny panty leopard situation? Granny panties.
We're gonna say Eva Marie and Dewdrop entered and were the guests for the show, I guess.
And, well, I think the special guest was Lily.
Yeah.
And then Eva rolled up and she started making fun of Lily, and Lily was having none of that crap, and so she tripped Eva.
The best part of the segment, before you get to the underwear, Alexa Bliss was amazing with the impression of Eva Marie. It was so gold.
She was on point with that. Like, so on point. But yeah, for me, the granny panty, leopard granny panties were a miss.
But they
were a huge miss.
But at least her and Dewdrop were matching.
They were matching, and Dewdrop looked cuter.
So where should we begin on some of these things that happened on Raw?
I don't know. What's the least offensive?
All right. Let's start with the contractual obligation.
Ah, yes. This.
Okay. So Bobby Lashley had an open challenge for the night. He's given up the women. He's given up the champagne. And he's giving it all up. We had shots at the Cowboys because it's just easy. Hometown heat. So out came Keith Lee. Keith Lee returned to Monday Night Raw. He was scheduled at one point months ago to beat Bobby Lashley for the United States title, or beat Riddle, who was in the match for the United States title, and then disappeared for months. He came back, ready to go. He had a competitive battle with Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley won. Bobby Lashley was not able to get him in the Hurt Lock, because Keith Lee is too big, but a spear helped him get the win. Bobby Lashley was bleeding, he's in the ring. Then the music that had to be contractually obligated to play, played. The old man walked out, screamed, "I'm next," and there you go. That's your WWE Championship match. Because at a pay-per-view, you are contractually obligated to have a championship match for the WWE title.
So, number one, Keith Lee's back.
Mm-hmm. Which we'd all been saying for months, this would be the night.
Would be the night, and it's awesome, and we're happy to see him. It is a little unfortunate that he lost, but that's okay, because they can continue to kind of, like, get him past this and rebuild him, and it'll be really simple to do. But yes, so let's take the positive. Keith Lee is back. Contractual obligation, because that's what we're going to call him. If you don't know who we're talking about Goldberg.
Who?
Him.
Old man?
He's there to do a job. He's there. He's going to do SummerSlam and he's going to leave. I really can't get upset about it because I kind of knew he was coming. But I feel like I kind of speak for everybody where we're all like, eh, we really don't want it. But at this point, looking at the stars that they can pull out of the mothballs that can still wrestle, he's kind of one of the only options they have. Plus, again, he does have the contractual obligation where he has to wrestle twice a year. And they were not going to have not bring him in without a crowd. So it was WrestleMania or SummerSlam, and they opted to put him on SummerSlam. And moving forward, he'll probably be on Survivor Series as well, I would guess. Unless, yeah, because he has to do 2 a year.
He already did. He did Rumble with Drew.
That's right. He did the Rumble with Drew. So this is his second for the year, and then he's done. So, okay, even better. Positive. It's a one and done, and he's out.
Unless they work in one for Saudi if they end up going.
Well, we'll see if they end up going. But yeah, for now, it's a one and done, probably. And what would be interesting is if they can build Keith Lee up in a way where they insert him into this feud and you do a three-way for the title at SummerSlam and Keith Lee picks up the W.
Possibly.
You could, but that's
I don't think so.
A long shot. But yeah, so yay, Bobby versus Goldberg. Woo! It will be an interesting challenge for Bobby. Because he is the newly reformed Bobby Lashley. He has sworn off the women. He has sworn off the champagne, which you can't have like a sip after you win. I think that's a little much. Just say no more. But you do you. He is all serious. He is all business. He is here to whoop ass and take names.
Okay. So that's one. We were told that tonight we would have a debut on Monday Night Raw. Karrion Kross made his Raw debut in a non-title match against No More Words, Jeff Hardy. He got his music back.
Which is great. That's awesome that Jeff Hardy got his music back. Very happy. No, he did not kick MVP to the curb.
No. So, they had this match in which Jeff Hardy quickly hits the twist of fate, goes top rope, misses the swanton. Okay, you give Jeff Hardy his golden moment. He gets a chance to do a move. And then Karrion whips his ass.
Oh, wait. Except he didn't.
He rolled him up. Used the ropes. Karrion Kross lost in 1 minute and 41 seconds to Jeff Hardy. And then Karrion was like, Hardy just made the biggest mistake of his life because everyone will fall and pray.
So it should be noted that Karrion did not have Scarlett with him. It should also be noted it's Karrion's birthday, which is not necessarily as significant, but it not having Scarlett there to at least do the entrance portion with him makes the entrance just fall exceptionally flat. The entrance is really all about her. It's where she gets to shine, right? And then he comes in and he does his thing and he beats people up. That's how it balances. And without her there, it's just a bird on a screen flapping, and he's just standing there with his arms crossed looking all mean and shit. I don't even think they did the black and white for him.
No.
They did not do the black and white entrance, which again, the high contrast black and white really helps it stand out. And so this was not a good sign for him coming out. I mean, there are worse people to lose to than Jeff Hardy, certainly. Jeff Hardy is a former multi-time champion, He's a WWE legend. He will be a Hall of Famer, I assume, yeah, at some point. So, you know, he is certainly a credible person to lose to. However, this is your NXT champion. This is the guy who, a month, 6 weeks ago, took on five other men and beat them all.
You know what the best part was? Was it 15 minutes later? Not even. They showed an NXT commercial.
Yeah.
Of him dominating Samoa Joe.
Yep. Yeah, they did. And you had him, but I mean, it's like, going back to the point, Jeff Hardy's not a bad person to lose to, but when you have Karrion Kross, who's the NXT champion, get beat like a bitch.
In 141,
after he's had all these really dominant showings in NXT, is not only a slap in the face to Karrion, it's really kind of almost feels like a slap in the face to NXT. Like, yeah, F you guys. This is what we think of you and your champion. Like, that's honestly what it felt like. I don't think that was the case, but that's what it felt like. And I don't know if that was a setup or something. I don't know what. And then have Cross cut the promo like he'd won, right? Like, he'd won the match. He'd beaten Jeff Hardy. It looked stupid. Like, they just made him look stupid. And I know he'll go back down to Orlando and he'll be on NXT tomorrow. And I'm sure they'll have him kill somebody and everything will be kosher. But in the meantime, he looked like a fool tonight. And that's not what you want, especially with somebody like him. Because I don't think he's long-term for NXT. I think at some point he will come to Raw or SmackDown. Well, and they will have him be excessively dominant.
Well, Raw, he's been called up to Raw.
Well, I don't want to make an assumption that he's on one or the other. Like, they just had him on Raw.
I mean, they could change their mind, but we'll see.
But yeah, this was not a good showing for Karrion. I hope they make it up to him somehow. Because yeah, this was bad. This was really bad.
So we want to talk about some positives?
Let's talk some positives.
Guess who's back?
Not Bray Wyatt.
His name is John Cena. He was back in front of an electric crowd to start off Monday Night Raw. He was here for, you know, he soaked in all the crowd noise and everything, and everyone was, you know, loud. He says he's answered a few questions. Yes, he will wear the Beastmaker to his premiere, and he will show up and ruin. He showed up and ruined the championship celebration of Roman Reigns. Reigns was angry. Paul Heyman was confused. Michael Cole was excited, and Pat McAfee couldn't still see him.
Which was a nice little thing.
So then he was going to answer to who, what, where, why, and how. So he's to answer all the questions. Who brought him back? The fans. The WWE Universe brought him back because we all come together. Also, Roman Reigns brought him back. What brought him back? The Universal Championship. Where? SummerSlam in Vegas. That's the where and when. But why? Talk about being as a record-breaking 17th World Championship, but it's not about that. It's because Roman Reigns is an asshole. He said
he had an asshole chant.
I mean, we just need Steve Austin on the screen. That's 15,000 people calling you an asshole and all over the world. He said he believes Roman Reigns needs to be knocked down a peg. He said this pathetic Reigns experience has gone on long enough. He says Reigns is an arrogant, self-absorbed, overhyped, overconfident, overexposed gimmick that isn't as over as he thinks he is. And that is coming from me.
I mean, that's pretty scathing, all things considered, especially with the self-awareness of John Cena.
He said there's a saying, if you're good, you'll tell everyone, have them acknowledge you. He brought up that it's a team effort, and then, you know, basically said, I'll see you Friday night on SmackDown.
This was a fantastic promo from John Cena. He still got it, man. He still knows exactly how to, like, just drop those really, really great promos. Respect to the person in the truck that had their finger on the button ready to go when he dropped asshole, because they hit it like 3 seconds before he said it and they held it till like a second after he said it. Because there was a point where it's like they hit it because he started to do the line and they hit it and all you hear is silence. And then they brought it back and you hear the asshole chant. And I had to ask Rock, I was like, did he call Roman a fucking asshole?
No, apparently he only said an asshole. Kayla said something asshole at the table, which is a great t-shirt.
That is a great t-shirt, honestly.
That is a great t-shirt.
But yeah, this was, John Cena just knows how to do that. He knows how to just deliver those great one-liners, those great insults. He knows how to cut people down. And just, yeah, this was just really, really good. And you, honestly, I've missed it. I have missed John Cena in wrestling. I have missed those promos. I've missed that pop from the crowd. Like, just everything about this. And last night was just even more. Like, I'm pretty sure the building doesn't have a roof anymore.
So, if you want a normalcy thing, It's John Cena opening up Monday Night Raw in front of a packed crowd.
That, there you go.
That's how you reset your wrestling, is here's a moment. It's John Cena with the crowd. One more time. And then there was a moment you didn't think you needed, but you got John Cena and Riddle doing a bro, 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 bro.
They made friends.
It's amazing.
And interestingly enough, no Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah. But we had a six-man tag, Riddle and the Viking Raiders taking on AJ Styles, Omos, and John Morrison. Lindsay, we finally got our wish. AMW made its way to Raw.
I hate it here. I hate it here. So America's moist want it. Why? I hate it.
Sorry about...
It's a great t-shirt, but I hate it here.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Sorry about your damn luck, man. That's for sure.
Oh, that was great. Marcus Moist won it. That's fantastic. So the best part about this match at the end, it was a really good match with all six men involved. So Riddle grabbed the drip stick, sprayed Omos, threw it back at Miz. I think he missed and had to throw it again, but we didn't see it on camera. And then Omos looks back, sees Miz with it, and Miz is like, oh no, oh no. It wasn't me, it was Riddle. And Morrison got thrown back in. He took the fall as Omos chased Miz up the ramp. That was great.
The one thing I was really happy about was that Omos was wearing black clothes, because it would have been really awkward with him getting sprayed with the dripstick.
Mm-hmm.
Had he been in like gray or white or anything else, it would have been a really, really awkward sort of looking stain. So I'm glad that he had all black on, because we avoided the awkwardness there. But yeah, this was all really good. This was really entertaining. Crowd was hot for it. They were into it. And yeah, like I said, no Randall Orton to be seen.
So it's time for the Charlotte Flair Championship coronation. She's happy. She's proud. She talks about how she deserved all this. And she talked about how Rhea can copy her, but Rhea Ripley isn't the original. She is. It's hashtag Charlotte Flair. And she had all this support. And then the fans start chanting for Becky. And she acknowledged the fans, says she's home breastfeeding while she's anchoring the division. She talked about how she's a one-time Divas Champion, five-time SmackDown Women's Champion, and now a five-time Raw Women's Champion, making her only 11-time Women's Champion. She can beat Rhea Ripley on any day of the week. This brought out Rhea, says, any day of the week? How about now? So I was like, well, I did so much damage to your girl, your knee, little girl. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not fighting you tonight. The authority figures, Pierce and DeVille, came out and made the match for your main event. Charlotte would jump Rhea one more time. Becky Lynch has a strong Twitter game.
And while this whole thing is going on, the fans are chanting for Becky.
Yep.
And Charlotte told the fans, yes, yes, Becky, she's breastfeeding at home. And Becky Lynch, being the clever lass that she is, clearly watching Raw, was like, breastfeeding at home and still the most over woman in division.
Yep.
Like you do.
So your main event of Monday Night Raw was for the Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley. It ends in disqualification when Charlotte tries to leave and then hits Rhea with the belt. Fans are booing out the building. Boo, how does this end? So they're brawling. Riptide by Rhea Ripley. And the lights go blue and yellow and the music starts to play. And out comes the Almo superhero, Nikki A.S.H. Charlotte gets rolled into the ring. Nikki's like, my chance. I'm going to capitalize. Hands over the briefcase. Referee rings the bell. She's screaming for Charlotte to get up. Crossbody. One, two, three. And new? Yep, and new. Raw Women's Champion, Nikki Cross, a.k.a. Nikki A.S.H.
This was all really good. There was a lot of questions, at least from me watching last night, because I haven't gotten to talk about the show yet, of how long the Money in the Bank holders are going to have their respective briefcases, when are we going to see the cash-ins, that kind of thing. I always like it when we get a quicker cash-in done than have that lingering, and it's just eventually they forget about that person, and they just move forward without them, and then it's like, oh crap, what do we do with it? So I liked, really, really liked that they had Nikki cash in the night after. She waited for her opportunity. It arose. She saw it. She went for it. Rhea just kicked the crap out of Charlotte beforehand, and Nikki's like, I'm going! And she just sprinted down that ramp, man, right at those two, and Rhea let her have at it. And so Otis was one. I was not fond of Otis's Money in the Bank at all and how they did that. But I liked this. Congratulations to Nikki. It is well deserved. She has worked her butt off in that company. She's definitely improved herself. She's definitely built herself. And, you know, she's the only one left standing, I think, from Sanity.
In WWE, yeah.
And in WWE, she's the only one left. So good on her, man, for coming through and winning the title. And I don't foresee it being a long reign, but we'll see. But I think it opens doors for other people to potentially return. And also for the Charlotte Rhea feud to continue if they want to without the title.
So there were a lot of critics on the gimmick and doubts, but the almost superhero, it's gonna work.
It's something for the kids. It's something for people. It basically replaces that void that Smiley Happy Bailey left when she went away. And they need that character there, if nothing else, and for a cash cow, right? It's like, it's the same thing with the New Day. The New Day broke up. They kind of lost that, even though they're still kind of cashing in with Woods and Kofi. They, again, have to fill that void with something. Nikki Ash is going to fill that void. They've seen how popular she is. Like, there was already fan art of her the night after she debuted, or the day after she debuted. People were already talking about her. They're drawing pictures of her. She was all over the place. She was hugely over last night. They are going to strap the rocket to her and push her to the moon because they know that she has something.
There's something there.
And it's like, she can be that ultimate underdog. She can be that pure baby face. She can be really what they need in that division. And a lot of, you know, tweeners and gray areas in that division, Nikki Ash is that pure good guy. And she can be that perfect foil for Charlotte if they want to continue it with Charlotte doing that villain role. Or she is being the bad guy. She is being the heel. You can have that perfect heel face pure story as opposed to what they have been doing with like Rhea and Charlotte, which is Rhea's kind of a tweener. We don't really know where she stands. Like, we know Charlotte's the heel, but we don't know where Rhea is in terms of good guy, bad guy. She's in that middle ground. So they're going to do things with her, and I really hope that they do.
So
because it'll be good.
I'll point something out. 3 months ago, she couldn't get on TV.
Mm-mm.
Now she's your champion.
She came up with a gimmick. She pitched it. They took to it. They liked it, and it's worked.
Now she's your champion.
Like I said, they saw the fan reaction, and they went for it. You don't see them jump on something this quick. You never see them jump on anything this quick. So it just goes to show that they did see the feedback. They are paying attention, and they're going to push people that potentially that they see are getting over.
And with that, that's Raw.
That's Raw. This was the Thunderdome era is gone, and I'm so happy it's gone. Long live the fans.
Talk more about Money in the Bank Thursday night.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites, plus our Money in the Bank review. We will break it down for you of who won, who lost, and how we did in Pick'em. So it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Coming soon, The Rack Extra Reviews. Move phone out of the way. Rule the Ring from DK Publishing, the brand new WWE book. Coming soon to The Rack Extra Reviews, probably later this week. Saturday night, Midnight, another edition of Super Radio, SuperLive.com, GrandTheGreatDebate.com. Russell Talk Radio returns in 2 weeks. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join our Discord, do the Discord command in chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You also use credit code ROCKETSUCK or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
We are hashtag Epic Partners.
Go.
Most of the social media is at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD.
Thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack and right back here every Monday night for The Raw Post Show. A long day raised at Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live right here at twitch.tv/WGLive.
WildTalkRadio.com.